following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And a good Monday morning to you. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. Randy Bushcutter filling in for Doug Duda. As usual on Monday, though, our friend Jim Langen is here. Jim, how was the weekend?
Yeah, really good. Really good.
Good. A lot of baseball that we're going to talk about, including the College World Series. We'll talk a little bit about Virginia and Vanderbilt in their matchup. Of course, there's probably a little reaction to the World Cup that we'll kind of talk about ever so briefly as well. So a lot to talk about today here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And one other thing I thought was kind of interesting is a little bit of Major League history was made the other day. Alex Torres from San Diego, the relief pitcher, wore one of those new compression kind of concussion preventing hats underneath his regular hat. And I don't know if that's going to be the new rage or not, but another little moment of trying to improve the safety of baseball. I thought that was kind of interesting. We might come on to that just a little bit to get things kind of started today. It was interesting to me that it was Alex that did it, because if you remember, one of the worst kind of accidents we had with a line drive coming right back to the pitcher was Alex Cobb at Tampa Bay. And the guy that came in as a relief pitcher after Cobb was hurt was Alex Torres last year.
Yeah, you know, the safety, they've done some things safety-wise with baseball, with the coaches wearing helmets at first and third base. That's probably the most significant thing that's happened maybe since this, you know. But it's amazing. I mean, in baseball, they used to not have to even – the batter did not have to wear a helmet when he came up to bat. You know, it was by choice. You know, so when a guy started to do that a little bit more, that was a safety precaution too. But, yeah, kind of interesting. And the bats were so hot there in NCAA. When those baseball games at Rosenblatt Stadium in the College World Series, there were a lot of games that were like 20-12 and 24-18. I mean, there were some really high-scoring baseball games in the College World Series. That bat was really hot. When that ball would come off that bat, it's not that these athletes were that strong and were hitting home runs because of that. The bat was doing a lot of the work. And that bat, when it comes right off there, and that pitcher's so close, and he's also in a not in a position to play defense sometimes. You know, when he's throwing that pitch, you know, it takes him a little time to gather. We're like your third baseman. You know, anybody that's ever played third base knows what you're talking about. You're standing there ready for it. And when it comes down there, it is coming down at such a significant force. You know, you have hardly any time to react. But you know, it's been interesting that, you know, the Oklahoma City coach, when he got hit in the neck. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, so they haven't done anything to protect that area. You know, but they have tried to, say, put the helmet on, and they're trying to do something to protect people.
And being a Reds fan, I'm familiar with Aroldis Chapman and what happened to him in the early part of the season where he was out for 6 weeks. He got hit in the face. And this concussion cap, which basically covers the same area as you know, one of those skull caps that people kind of wear underneath football helmets, and sometimes they even wear it on their baseball caps as well. That's really kind of the area that it kind of covers, and it makes the hat outside it look rather bulky. I mean, it does have a little bit different look to it when you have that. So I don't know how popular that's going to become, because as you say, there was a time when batters in Major League Baseball didn't even wear a batting helmet at all, and then they changed the rules. I don't know if they'll ever change the rule to require a pitcher to wear it. Third baseman are always going to feel like they can kind of protect themselves. But you also mentioned in college baseball that the bat has kind of changed where we don't have the offense we had. But that was kind of a dangerous situation with even third baseman kind of coming up in there as well. And obviously that was one of those things I kind of have to look at. I'm curious to see whether or not very many people are going to follow the lead that Alex Torres had this last weekend.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. I mean, we can go over a couple other things while we've got a little time here. You know, in the NFL, if you guys remember this one, I can because of my age, but players were expected to wear a face mask. Expected to wear a face mask just then. But the punter and the kicker did not have to wear a face mask.
You said that bar.
Then they made him have one little thing go across, kind of protect the nose a little bit. Well, can you imagine after a block field goal what that was like? I mean, you know, well, then they forced him to go ahead and do that. But I guess what I'm trying to try to explain this a little bit better about that impact of that bat and the ball, the ball and the bat, both together, how they're made. And if you make a baseball that's too hot and you make a bat that is too hot, that the reaction, the pitcher will have no chance to react to that. And I'll give you an example. Try to imagine if you took your driver and a Titleist, a black 100 Titleist, and you put it at home plate, and you got to just kind of line up and decide to hit that. And you had a line drive back at the pitcher. What chance has he got to put his glove up in time to catch that? Well, that might be that impact is too much of an example. But somewhere between where we're at now and a wooden bat compared to basically an aluminum-type bat and a hotter baseball, and they're going to make a hotter baseball next year in the World Series. They say, oh, we're going to go with a different ball so it'll carry a little bit more. So they're trying to get more offense into the game, which will make it more difficult for infielders and the pitcher to go ahead and react to that and to cover that.
And among things that they're going to change with that baseball in college baseball next year is the laces aren't going to be as far out, so your curveballs aren't going to curve as much, your sliders won't slide as much, and you're probably going to get more base hits. The ball won't necessarily, and it'll travel about, I think they say, about 20 feet further, but it won't be significant enough. There'll be a safety issue for your third baseman and coming back to the pitcher as much. Yeah. So that's the idea.
And if you think about this, let's really be honest about this. In the sport is not set up for safety completely anyway, because every coach, if they expect a bunt, what do they want their first and third baseman
charge,
to do?
Charge, yeah.
Yeah, get up there as close as you can and take that away. Well, what if that guy fakes a bunt and then swings? I mean, now you've taken the safety out of it a little bit. Like, hey, I faked the bunt and I'm going to swing. Whoa, you know, I didn't want you to do that when I was standing 14 feet from the home plate. You know, so, you know, the game's not made for that. So, but there has to be some things done, you know, like you say, for the batter. And we try to do that because normally the person that's going to get hurt is going to be the batter when he gets hit by a pitch. If somebody, a pitch gets away from somebody that's throwing 80 mile an hour and hits him in the head, you know what I mean? So the protection's there.
Yeah, and I think everybody wants players to be safe. They get that. But what has been their biggest complaint about the College World Series so far? Lack of runs scored. Lack of home runs. You know, only a couple home runs have been hit in the entire series. And again, I don't know if I want to go back to when it was 19-18. You know,
I don't ever want that.
Yeah, but there is kind of a line where, you know, there's been a lot of 1-0, 2-1 kinds of games, and that isn't necessarily. And you even heard it from the TCU coach after they were eliminated with that. He said what we've done to the game of college baseball is a little bit of, I think he used the word travesty. And so there is a line there somewhere. So I think they're trying to find that middle ground. But again, safety is probably the most important concern that they would have with that. But again, you got to get people interested in the game to grow your game.
Right. And, you know, the protection of people without a glove. There are people that are playing the game without a glove, and those are the umpires.
Yeah.
You know, they're out there also. You've got your first and third base coaches, and then you've got your base runners. So what they've done with base runners is you need to wear a helmet. You don't have a glove. You know, they don't have anything for umpires yet, except we do have a little protection behind home plate, but it's not enough.
Yeah, it isn't. And by the way, you know, as we said, we're down to Virginia and Vanderbilt playing for the College World Series title. We're going to talk a little bit about Virginia baseball. I thought it was interesting. They were, about the time they hired their current head coach, they were considering the idea of dropping the program. So about 14, 15 years ago, they were considering dropping the program, and now they're going to play for the College Baseball National Championship.
Yeah, that is unique in itself, isn't it? Yes.
And they've been good for about 5, 6 years. So really the biggest hurdles were overcome in the first about 8 years or so, and now they're one of the premier programs. They're the only two-seeded teams that made it to Omaha, and they were one of the two.
Yeah, you know, if you look at Vanderbilt and Virginia, they've always kind of taken the back seat to other schools in their conference, you know, with the success that they've had in all sports. I mean, if you look at the ACC and you look at the Southeastern Conference, Vanderbilt and Virginia are not the elite teams that you're going to expect. You know, I mean, you look at Duke mm-hmm. and North Carolina predominantly in basketball. You know, you've looked at Alabama, you know, LSU. There's some teams that have done predominantly well in football, and LSU's done well in a lot of sports. But, you know, but Vanderbilt has not got a lot of even Southeastern Conference championships, let alone national championships.
No. Yeah, and again, you look at Vanderbilt's football program. I can't really tell you a single player in Vanderbilt's football program, nor can I with Virginia. About Virginia athletic-wise, outside of Ralph Sampson, I couldn't even give you too many basketball players.
Well, you know, the Virginia, I think, isn't the Virginia quarterback, isn't he play for the Danger?
Yeah.
You know, I think, yeah, so he plays for the Grand Island Danger, the Virginia quarterback, yeah.
Yeah, so that gives you an idea. Yeah. We're going to continue talking about the College World Series. We'll be back with a beat writer for Virginia. We'll take a quick break. We'll continue with more of that here from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. We'll talk with him in just a few moments. Don't forget, though, if you're needing a new car, you want to kind of get an upgrade, or maybe just a quality used car, the place to head is Midway Auto Dealerships, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac. Every day, low hassle prices on over 500 vehicles immediately available. They are on the lot. They are ready to go. They've already been checked out. The Midway Certified Program gives you a year of oil changes, 6-month, 60,000-mile warranty on the vehicle, and a 2-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Also, everyone will get free car washes with the purchase as long as you own the vehicle, which is obviously very nice throughout the course of the year. And don't forget, Midway Chevrolet has their all that online. You can check them out at their website at midway.com. On South 2nd Avenue, New in Kearney. Complete inventory at thinkmidway.com. That's thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. We'll talk Virginia baseball. We come back right after this.
A few years ago, we decided as a company to drop the big franchise name so that we could invest the franchise dollars locally in the good things Kearney has to offer. And in that, I mean the people and what we do for each other. This is Tim Norwood with NP Realty.
NP Realty is excited to support the Community Olympics in Kearney this weekend. The Community Olympics helps build a stronger Kearney. Have fun and stay safe this weekend.
NP Realty, developing dreams.
It's coming fast. This year's premier summer concert series, the Adams County Fair Fest, July 16th through the 19th in Hastings. Check out this incredible lineup. The legendary Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, Lee Bryce, the Casey Donahue Band with Aaron Watson, and Thomas Rhett. That's a ton of talent for one Fair Fest. Get tickets for this year's Adams County Fair Fest three ways at the Adams County Box Office in Hastings, online at AdamsCountyFairgrounds.com, or call 402-462-3247.
For lunch or dinner, it's Grand Island's best sports bar with really great food, Bandits, where you can enjoy Sax's Pizza, the area's favorite. Bandit's famous wings, Sparky, Buffalo, Sweet Teriyaki, Garlic Parmesan, and Spicy Breaded. There's Taco Chef and Chicken Salads, Meatball Subs, and an appetizer menu which includes Tim's delicious taco meat and melted cheese nachos, toasted to perfection. Weekday happy hours from 4 to 6 and all day Sunday with ice-cold 250 huge mugs and $2 domestic pints and bottles. Grand Island's best sports bar with really great food. Head to Bandit's, 13th and 281. Grand Island.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Here's your WeatherEye forecast powered by WeatherAlgae.com. Plenty of sunshine for today. Highs top out near 81 degrees. Winds north, 5 to 15 miles per hour. I'm WeatherEye meteorologist Phil Jensko. Right now it's 66.
Ready or not, Omaha, Nebraska.
Ready or not, Omaha, Nebraska.
Ready or not, Omaha, Nebraska.
Cause here we come.
Doug and Danny Show, the Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coolest beer and the coolest topics. Our cooler question today, well, actually from Friday, is the Royals recently won 10 in a row. They led the American League Central heading into the weekend. How do you think the Royals will finish the season? Will they be in the playoffs by a wild card? No playoffs, but have a winning record, division winner, or 500 or worse? And the majority of people said they would be in the playoffs, but with a wild card. I think they still think that the Tigers were going to go. Where do you kind of fall on that, Jim?
I think they'll be over 500, but I don't think they'll make the playoffs.
You don't think they'll make it?
No.
I don't know. Maybe I'm overly optimistic being a Royals fan over the year. I think they have a shot to win the division. I think they got the pitching, but we'll find out. That's the beauty of baseball, and the beauty of baseball has led Virginia and Vanderbilt to get together in Omaha for the College World Series. Both of them have advanced all the way through and will play for the national championship beginning tonight. And kind enough to join us to talk about it is Andrew Ramspacker from the Charlottesville Daily Progress. And Andrew, thank you so much for joining us. We just love hearing those baseball experts, and I'm sure you've probably had Virginia going all the way into the finals when this all began. Did you not?
Well, I mean, it was obviously, it wasn't a shock when they did get there. I mean, preseason number one, a team that held that ranking for 9 of 15 weeks during the regular season, and a team that even sets it up, I think, to another level in the regional and super regional. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, you got a team that has, six guys drafted in the first eight rounds of the draft. That's pretty talented. And if they can find some chemistry, they can get things done in Omaha. And obviously, to this point, they've done just that.
And, 13, 14 years ago, Virginia was a very pedestrian program, but it didn't take Brian O'Connor very long at all to get this program kind of up to national prominence. The last 10 years or so, they've been a real regular. They've been one of the elite programs over the last, about 8 years or so.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really been all 11 years that Brian O'Connor's been there. They've gone to a regional. He mentioned yesterday in his press conference, he kind of downplayed a little bit. It wasn't a complete rags-to-riches story because he did inherit a team in 2004. The left side of the infield featured a fellow by the name of Ryan Zimmerman at third, and at shortstop there was Mark Reynolds. So he had a couple of big leaguers on that first team, and he got them to a regional, kind of got them over that hump. They stayed at that regional level up through 2009 when they had just kind of a magical run through the postseason. They go to UC Irvine. They end Steven Strasburg's career in that regional, San Diego State, take down the Anteaters of Irvine, and then come to Ole Miss and knock off a favored Rebels team in an Oxford Super Regional, and obviously get to Omaha for the first time. They return 2 years later to the College World Series with what many considered up until this season was the best team Brian O'Connor's ever had. A guy by the name of Danny Holson was the leader of that team. He was the second pick of the draft of the Seattle Mariners that year. Then obviously it's all led to this now, the 2014 team that has had expectations on it since they lost the Super Regional last year to Mississippi State. There was about seven or eight regular contributors coming back in the lineup. You had a pitching rotation that was young, that needed to develop a little bit, and it certainly has developed. You look at team ERA this year, obviously, what it's done for these three games in Omaha, 0.55 ERA. So Yeah, I mean, the building process that Brian O'Connor and his staff has done in just over a decade has really been impressive.
Yeah, hey, Jim Langan here. The thing I look at with the two teams that are in the finals is their conference was so strong. Talk a little bit about your conference, how you guys went 22-8, I think, or maybe 22-6 in your conference this year. But I think your conference is so strong. Talk a little bit about both conferences.
Yeah, you know, the ACC, actually, by its high standards, I thought was a little more down this year than usual. You had three teams at the top that were elite level. Two got national seeds at Virginia and Florida State, and Miami really could have made an argument to get a national seed. They still had a regional host, and it was pretty top-heavy. It was basically those three teams kind of battling out all year. But to tell you about the level of that conference, you know, Virginia is here two wins away from the national title. It didn't even win its own division in the ACC this year. That went to Miami, a team that just got red hot from the end of March to the end of the regular season. So, yeah, I mean, certainly facing those teams through this year has helped this bunch. Facing those quality of arms has helped this team. And, you know, I think it's prepared it. I mean, you know, when he goes up against the other top conferences in the country, it's held its own this year. That's contrary to past Virginia teams. You know, you look at 09, you know, that team was bounced in the College World Series by Arkansas, okay? In 2011, Virginia was bounced by South Carolina, two teams in the SEC. Well, here in 2014, they're 4-0 against the SEC, and how fitting is it that they got to end this thing by beating another SEC team in Vanderbilt to win a title?
We're talking with Andrew Ramspacker of the Charlotte Daily Progress, and you've mentioned a couple of things. One, Virginia is still undefeated in the College World Series, and the pitching, because you're undefeated, because Virginia is undefeated, you've got the Virginia has the rotation set up exactly the way they want. I think Nathan Kirby will be pitching tonight, and they haven't really taxed their starting rotation a little bit. I think Virginia's starting rotation might be one of those areas that the Cavaliers have an advantage.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you look at you know, those three guys, talking about Nathan Kirby, who is as good as anybody in the country, an All-American, a guy who's a sophomore. So next year, certainly he's a guy that will go early in that first round of the draft. You know, a left-hander that can throw 93, 94, and has really good pitches to back up that fastball, the slider, and the curveball, and a changeup. Then, obviously, Brandon Waddell, another lefty, another sophomore, that has a different style than Kirby. He'll pitch to contact more, not a lot of strikeouts, but at the end of the day, he scatters two runs on four hits and seven innings, and it's another quality start. And then obviously Josh Spores, the guy who struggled somewhat in the regular season as a Saturday starter, had some control issues, but leads the team in walks. But as you saw on Saturday, if you look back to the Super Regional against Maryland, when he's on, he's as good as anybody on that staff, and that's saying something. I mean, he's as good as Nathan Kirby. He's as good as Nick Howard when he's on. I mean, he's got a fastball that can run up to 96, 97. He's got a slider that can go in the high 80s. So some really, really quality stuff from them. And, yeah, like you said, all three are, you know, set up potentially to all pitch. If this thing goes to three games, obviously Kirby will go tonight. And Waddell will go tomorrow. Yeah, you know, I would assume Spores goes Wednesday. You know, by that time, he'll have enough rest after pitching on Saturday. But they had a lot of quality arms in that bullpen. They can maybe stretch that game out a little bit with some different looks. But, yeah, I mean, that pitching staff certainly, I would think, you know, gives Virginia maybe a slight edge over a pretty good Vanderbilt.
Yeah, hey, Jim Langer here again. Do you think I'm trying to get through this thing on the looking at? I mean, you scored like 23 or 24 runs in three games to win your regional and then your super regional. And, you know, so you're averaging about six runs a game, and then you go down to the College World Series, and it's kind of like cut in half down to three. What do you think? How many runs do you think it's going to take to win these baseball games?
Two or three. I mean, that's the nature of this tournament. I think that's the nature of this ballpark. You know, I think there's a stat floating around the other day. You know, this was I think a team that's scored five runs in the College World Series since it's moved to TD Ameritrade Park has never lost. So, and if you got a team that pitches really well, if you got a team that defends really well, which Virginia is exceptional in both of those categories, you're going to have a chance. And, you know, with that lineup, like you said, it's shown flashes that it can get on a roll. But, you know, getting on a roll, quote-unquote, in this tournament, you know, in the College World Series, in this ballpark, you know, means scoring, I don't know, four or five runs. So if they have to do that, I would think Brian O'Connor has the confidence in those guys that they will scratch together enough runs to win games. You know, they've struggled to score runs in the College World Series. They also left a lot of guys on, though. So it's not a matter of not getting hit. It's a matter of occasionally not getting that clutch hit. Obviously Brian O'Connor hopes that they will get that clutch hit when it needs. And you got a lineup full of veteran guys. So you would think when the moment, when we get to that moment, they'll come through.
Speak with Andrew Ramspacker of the Charlottesville Daily Progress about Virginia baseball, and got some big boppers in the lineup. You know, Mike Poppe, Joe McCarthy, Kenny Towns, Derek Fisher. They've done very well, but you guys have got some bats at the bottom of the lineup that you guys have had some success down there as well, like Downs and the Priest have been able to kind of come up with some big hits as well.
Yeah, I mean, you look at a guy like Brandon Downs, he's a seventh-round pick. The Kansas City Royals. He was a cleanup hitter all of last season. He led the team in home runs, led the team in RBI, was a big-time prospect going into this year. And I don't know how familiar you are with the MLB draft. He faced Jeff Hoffman at the beginning of this year. Jeff Hoffman was a top-10 pick this year from East Carolina. Downs took him deep twice in a game in February back in Charlottesville. Very talented, but has been kind of hampered by a wrist injury this year, so his offensive production has dipped average-wise, but he still shows those that flash of power as you see, I think, in the seven home runs and well over 30 RBIs. So that's kind of a luxury to have down there. Not many people have, a seven- or eight-hole hitter with that kind of pop. And John LaPriest, I mean, that guy is a guy last year as a freshman who only got 36 at-bats, goes over the summer to the Northwoods League up in Wisconsin, and wins the batting title there, bats well over 400. And has come back and has just continued his tear. He's not a power guy like Downs. So, you know, he'll hit singles and but he'll get on base. He'll kind of slap around and give you production. And then, you know, even further down that lineup, I mean, the catcher position, Nate Irving has been huge in this College World Series. He had the big ground rule double against TCU in that marathon game the other night. He had a leadoff walk in the ninth inning against Ole Miss. A couple Sundays ago. So he's been big. And then his replacement, the guy that he splits time with, Robbie Coleman, he went 2-for-4 with a double and a couple RBIs the other day against Ole Miss. So, 1-9, this is a lineup that, on paper, has struggled at times this year. But when they turn it on at any position in that lineup, they can be pretty dangerous.
Andrew, do you have a sense of how important Game 1 is? I mean, obviously, if you win Game 1, you only got to win one out of two. And if you lose it, then you got to win two in a row. I mean, obviously, winning Game 1 is important. But what would the confidence of Virginia be? I mean, because right now they're undefeated in the tournament. Would a loss kind of lose them that momentum? Or is their confidence level so high, so strong right now that they'd be able to shake that off pretty effectively?
Well, I think it's a couple ways. If you lose Game 1, they can always revert back to what they did in the Super Regional. They lost Game 1 to Maryland, and they came back and took two wins there and advanced to Omaha. And then if they win Game 1, guys, this Virginia has only lost back-to-back games once all season. So I think they would feel pretty confident that they'd get this thing done in by Game 2 or Game 3 should they win Game 1. And with Nathan Kirby going to the hill, they're pretty confident they can get an edge there. And if they do that, they'll have a ton of confidence in Brandon Waddell in Game 2 or Josh Forrest coming back in Game 3.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you definitely have the advantage. It's not over with just because how this – you have to play small ball, I think, to win this. And a sacrifice bunt might be the key in who wins and who doesn't. But your pitching has been just absolutely fantastic. I just looked it up. You've had 29 games where you've held your opponent to three runs or less. I mean, when you do that in college baseball, you're going to win a lot of a lot of baseball games. Who is your closer? Who is the guy that comes in and closes that you need in the eighth and ninth inning? Who's going to be that guy?
Yeah, it's Nick Howard. He was the 17th pick of the Cincinnati Reds, first rounder. A guy that has an ACC record for saves in the season. He's got 20 of them. Set that record the other day against Ole Miss. A power guy, a guy that can throw, you know, kind of your classic closer. He's going to come in on the back end. He's going to throw. He's hit 98 this year. Just got really, really electric stuff. And he's kind of been that shutdown guy. He's interesting because he wasn't even recruited to Virginia to pitch. He was recruited as more of a position player, a guy that can play the left side of the infield, short of third base. Well, his freshman year didn't throw that much. His sophomore year, he's the Sunday starter of the rotation while also playing third base and occasionally playing shortstop when there was an injury that happened toward the end of the season. And then this year they kind of made the decision that team was deep enough, Virginia was deep enough, the coaches felt that they could afford to take Nick out of the lineup, who was a pretty good bat. They only occasionally DH him now, and his role has just been to close games. And he's been as good as anybody in the country at doing that to this point. So that's another huge advantage that Virginia has, and has that luxury of that guy. I mean, Nick in that 15-inning game against TCU last week, I mean, came in through four innings. And struck out six guys and only allowed one hit. So he's a true closer, but has the versatility because he's been a starter before to kind of stretch things out. And I think the Reds actually want him to be a starter. So we'll see what his future lies. But for right now, he'll be in that closer role at least for the next couple of days. And Virginia is happy to have him.
Just a couple more minutes here with Andrew Ramspacker, the Charlotte Daily Progress. How is his durability? Because chances are these are going to be both tight games. Can he come in and be a strong closer two nights in a row?
Oh, yeah, he's done it. He's done it multiple times this year in weekend series and things like that. When you're like going one inning, two innings, actually, he's rarely gone even two innings. The other night, been here so many days, I don't even know what my days are anymore. But when was that TCU game? Last Tuesday. He went those four innings. That was his longest outing of the season by far. But he only threw one inning on Saturday against Ole Miss to advance Virginia to the conference or the College World Series finals. So he's good on back-to-back days. He's got enough energy to pull things out for him. He's done it before in big ACC series. Obviously, stage is a little higher. Lights are a little brighter here in Omaha, but they would expect him. They would have a lot of confidence in rolling him out on consecutive days. There's no doubt.
Final question here for you, Andrew. What do you see is the absolute key? Is there one element to the game? Is there the success of one player that you see as being key? Is there one thing that you think maybe is a little bit bigger than everything else?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of cliche just to say, pitching and defense. Obviously Virginia and Vanderbilt both got to this position because of that, but I still am a firm believer, and that's might would push Virginia over the top. Because last year's team batted .312 as a team, and but didn't get to Omaha because it had 75 errors. Its Friday night starter had a 3.76 ERA. So in the offseason, they made a conscious effort to fix both those areas of the game and get their pitching better, get their defense better. Well, you guys have seen what their pitching has done to this point in Omaha, .55 ERA in three games. The defense has the third best fielding percentage in the country. If Virginia keeps those two elements of the game strong, like they have all season, I think that's the key. I think, on a team loaded with all these draft picks and future professionals, that should be enough to get them the national title.
Well, Andrew, really appreciate your time. Enjoy your next two, maybe three games in Omaha. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, no problem, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate it. That's Andrew Ramspacker of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. A couple of quick stats, and I guess this shouldn't surprise anybody. The top two offenses in the College World Series are meeting because if you're not scoring runs, you're getting outscored, you lose, you're not playing for the national title. Commodores have been the best offensive team in Omaha. They lead in hitting in scoring. Virginia is second in batting, on-base percentage, and scoring as well. So not a surprise, the top two offenses still alive in Omaha, at least the top two offenses that have played in Omaha playing for the title. And again, the game start a little bit after 7 o'clock tonight, tomorrow night, and maybe Wednesday. And we'll have those games for you right here on ESPN. And our Midtown Mark Cooley question for today, I forgot to mention, fits in exactly with what we're talking about in the College World Series. Plain and simple, who wins the College World Series, Virginia or Vanderbilt? Those are your two options. You can log on and vote at ESPNSuperstation.com. Who wins the College World Series, Virginia or Vanderbilt? What do you think, Jim?
Virginia will win. I think they're almost 2-1. They are way the best team. Their pitching is phenomenal, and they do have an opportunity to score a lot of runs. They could win some of these games 6-0, 6-1, something like that. That's what it looks like on a piece of paper. Of course, you don't play it on a piece of paper. You know what I mean? And if they leave too many men on bases, you could have a 0-0 into the seventh again.
Yeah. The nature of baseball is such that a team that maybe isn't as good can jump up and win a game. It's going to be difficult to do that 2 out of 3 times. I'm with you. I think Virginia is the better team. It may go 3 games, but I still think Virginia is probably the better team, top to the bottom of their lineup. You know, every aspect of the game, I think they have either a solid edge or a slight edge against Vanderbilt. But and again, I think there's a statistics of 28 of the last 33 national champions, something like that, have gone through undefeated into that final series. And that's Virginia. So, I mean, right now, all indications are pointing to Virginia being the national title. And again, you can vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. I didn't really follow up with our previous question about the Royals being in first place heading into the weekend. 55% said they would make the playoffs by the wild card. Another 36% said winning record but no playoffs. 9% said a division winner, and nobody thought that the Royals would finish under 500. And we'll turn our attention to the Royals probably a little bit more after the College World Series. And it could be a good one, but I think that Virginia is definitely the better team when they get out there the next 2, maybe 3 nights. And I guess that's why they play them.
Yeah, that's it. And you know, the thing of it is, it's just you have 3 games. I mean, necessarily, like you say, the best team doesn't always win these things. But I would just, watching Virginia, you know, what they've done all season long, just really been dominating. I mean, this is amazing. The conference they play in, they play Miami, Florida, they play Florida State, Maryland, you know, and they've kind of played fairly well in the College World Series. I mean, they win 4-1. They did have that break, you know, when they won the 15-inning game over TCU. That was huge. Whoever won that TCU game was going to be in a good position for that. That went 3-2. So winning that 15-inning game, I think, would give them a lot of confidence, too.
Yeah, and tip your hat to Vanderbilt. They've had to kind of struggle and battle to get their way through here as well. But so we don't want to discount their ability to win a game, but just Virginia just seems to be just that much better. But we'll find out tonight as they will resume at TD Ameritrade Park about 7 o'clock tonight. We need to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue, and we'll probably even talk a little World Cup soccer as we continue with the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
This is the very last week to save 30% on all weight loss products at Complete Nutrition. Hurry in today and save 30% on Refirm, Mancor, CTS, Charger, and more. Complete Nutrition has helped thousands of people lose weight with clinically proven weight loss products that actually shrink fat cells. If you want to lose 15 to 20 pounds of fat, tone up, and be healthy, it's the perfect time to come into Complete Nutrition because all weight loss products are 30% off. Hurry in. This is the last week of the sale. Stop into a Complete Nutrition store today for a free consultation. A Complete Nutrition consultant will set you up for success by recommending which weight loss product is best for you. Achieve your ideal weight with the help from Complete Nutrition. Get 30% off all weight loss products this week only at Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
Who likes contracts? Whether it's your gym membership or cell phone service, nobody likes contracts, right? That's why you should choose Prairie iNet. They offer amazing internet service and you never, never have to sign a contract. You'll get fast, reliable service for streaming video, playing online games, and social media. They're locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. And there is no risk with their 30-day money-back guarantee. Remember, no gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable, high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of streaming video, playing online games, and social media. Oh, and how about never having to sign a contract and a 30-day money-back guarantee? Prairie iNet is locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. No gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
Make plans now to celebrate a Nebraska tradition of excellence in sports, family, and fun at the 30th Anniversary Cornhusker State Games, beginning July 18th with opening ceremonies at Pinnacle Bank Arena in Lincoln. 65 sports for athletes of all ages and abilities. There's something for everyone in the Cornhusker State Games. Register today at CornhuskerStateGames.com.
Brought to you by Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation and the Nebraska Public Power District, NPPD. Always there when you need us.
A lot of jumping around yesterday, and then there wasn't with the World Cup game yesterday. A lot of excitement. USA, of course, scored two straight to take a 2-1 lead, and felt like we had it. And then I think it got real quiet in a lot of sports bars across the country when that last goal with about 30 seconds of extra time went in. But again, if you would have said going into the game, you're going to tie Portugal, would you take it? I think most Americans would have taken it.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, if you watch the game, how could you say that the United States actually outplayed Portugal, or Portugal really outplayed the United States? I mean, you'd really have to.
It's pretty even, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there were some chances by both teams. They had some chances, and the goalies all made a couple nice plays. And there were some kind of some breakdowns.
Yeah.
You know, there were some breakdowns where you kind of, you know, somebody got kind of a cheap goal, really, because something, you know, and I don't understand soccer well enough.
That early goal by Portugal really was a miscue by the United States. And, you know, that's going to happen, but the soccer gods balanced that out a little bit because they had a good rush and it hit the post, and so they didn't get a goal when they had a legitimate chance to get it. So it kind of worked out. But you're right, it was a pretty even game. There was stretches where the United States was dominant, stretches where Portugal was dominant.
You know, every game that I've ever participated in, or ever coached, or ever officiated, I knew when the game was going to end. I knew how many outs we needed in a baseball game. I knew when the clock turned off. You know, this is really weird to me, and it always has been. You go, we're going to have – game's over. It's a tie. No, there's additional time. Well, how much additional time? Well, the referee's got it. Well, I mean, is it 4 minutes and 3 seconds? Is it 4 minutes and 11 seconds? And how come it's private? How come no one else gets to know? Why don't we put it up on the scoreboard so everybody can see – exactly what it is. I mean, and you know, I mean, I guess, I mean, what if the ball's in the air just before it hits his head? Nope, that's it. Game. The ball was in, you know, the stoppage time. I mean, you know, you get my point.
Yeah.
This is a stupid thing.
Well,
stoppage time. Let's on. We can talk until we're blue in the face. I'm not going to agree with anybody to say that the stoppage time is fine. If I don't mind having 5 extra minutes on the clock, but put it on there so we all get to see. if it's 5 minutes and 10 seconds or 4 minutes and 50 seconds. I want to know how much time's on the clock.
Well, and again, you see that a lot. I go to a lot of high school soccer games. My daughter played high school soccer. My son plays high school soccer. And most of the time, that's exactly how it's done, except, you know, with the FIFA games and the World Cup, they give you an indication. They put the sign up, you know, plus three. They're going to play 3 extra minutes. So at least you have an indication. You're purely just guessing when you go to most high school games. And I say most because there are some places where they actually do keep the time on the field. You can see it. It's on the board. You know,
I like that idea.
Yeah, Lexington has it set up for that. Kearney High Games generally has that. The state games played at Creighton, they have it. You know, when they score, the referee blows a whistle, crosses his arms. It means shut the clock off. And then, again, very much similar to how they do it in football, they crank it up to get the clock started again. So you know exactly how much time is there. So the technology is available. It is done in the sport of soccer / football, whatever you want to call it. It can be done. I just don't understand why they don't do it with FIFA events. I don't understand why they don't do it, because I'm with you. You should be able to know.
Well, I mean, in baseball, if the coach goes out and he wants to talk to his pitcher, and so he's out there talking to his pitcher. I mean, if we're, let's say the game's 48 minutes. No, it's not. We got to have so many outs. You got to have 27 outs. So no matter how long he talks to the pitcher, we still know you're going to have to get this many outs. You just don't all of a sudden, that's game. Stop each time.
And with baseball, you finish the inning, too. Even if there is a tournament where there's a time element to it, you finish the inning, you kind of know when the game is over.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to make sure we're all on the same page.
Yeah,
I mean, hopefully I'm not the only guy that feels this way.
And that's one of the things that makes soccer un-American. I mean, just different than every other sport in America. I mean,
I don't care what country it is. I mean, I have nothing to do with America on this. This has nothing to do with America.
Well,
this is nothing to do with
I think
the,
it bothers
this is
Americans
to do with
more.
The world. Oh, yeah, it might be.
I think because of our sensitivity. I mean, if you grew up with it as you being your primary sport, if you grew up in England and you always watched soccer and that's what you knew, you don't think this is weird. You don't think it's weird.
Hey, I could live in Madrid and I'd still feel this way. It had nothing to do with me being American on this one. I'm not going to say
well,
this.
Well, I think it's what you grew up with. Because we are used to football, basketball, baseball, even hockey, where there's a horn at the end of the game or the 27th out, whatever it is, and we know the end of the game when it is. If you grew up not knowing, it wouldn't feel as weird.
I'm good. You may be right, and maybe I'm just completely biased on this deal, but I really struggle with this rule. I want to know how much time's on the clock.
Well, I agree with you on that.
Sometimes our show, we don't know when it's going to start. It's around 11:03, but sometimes, you know, we play the music and it's about 8 or 9 second differential. We got a pretty good idea it's going to start, you know, at 12:03, but 11:03 it's going to be in a different time zone. It's also in 1:03 at a different time, but we do know the time, and I don't care where you live, I know what time. A flight, I guess when you go on an airplane, I don't know when my flight's going to start. They tell you what time to get there and what time, but I have no idea when the flight's really going to go off. We have stoppage time on that. So when I get in the airport, I guess there's stoppage time.
And you know what? There's a little gamesmanship that goes on with soccer. When you got the lead, you want to milk the clock a little bit. And that's kind of what the United States did. They tried to possess the ball for a while toward not their own goal, but the opposing goal, Portugal's goal, so they can't, you know, get it too many cheap shots or whatever, so they try to possess the ball. It's kind of like in football, running the ball when you're actually a passing team, but you got the lead and you're kind of working the clock. So United States does that. You also make some substitutions because the clock keeps running in soccer when that happens. And it happened to be that I think they decided to add another minute to stoppage time, which goes directly to what you're talking about in terms of not knowing how much there is. I think they added another minute because the United States was making another, and it's what every soccer team does. And they're milking the clock, so they said, well, instead of it being 4 minutes, we'll make it five. And then, bang, with 30 seconds to go, they end up scoring. And it was about the only time that the best soccer player in the world really made his presence known the entire game, Ronaldo.
Yeah. You know what? Another thing, though, the United States does have a big advantage. They may not make it to the World Cup because there's a few scenarios that could happen. Ghana, you know, if they win by more than a goal, and the United States would lose by one goal. You know, there's some scenarios where Ghana can beat us, but Portugal's got a huge differential. And the only way they draw it out of a hat, you know, they actually will draw it out of the hat. There's so many different ways that they look at, you know, goal differential is one of them. If there's a tie, if a couple teams are 1-1-1, you know, and then they go to this deal. And with Portugal, if Portugal would win 2-0 and the United States would lose 3-0, they draw it out of a hat. I mean, they don't go out and play it. And what other sport do we do this? You know, just, we're just going to draw this out of a hat. You know, I mean, this is kind of amazing to me, too, that you know, you got all those people. Hey, we're there. I mean, both teams are there. Let's go play overtime, you know, and decide who gets to go. Instead of somebody drawing it out of a hat. And there's another scenario. Portugal wins 3-0. The United States loses 3-1. And the other scenario is Portugal wins 4-0, and the United States would lose 3-2. They would draw it out of the hat. All the other scenarios. All the other possible scenarios, there would not be a draw out of the hat.
Yeah.
You know, because then there would be goals scored and a goal differential right now. But since Portugal lost 4-0 to Germany, you know, and the United States win, I believe, was it 2-1 over Ghana? You know, they won that. That's why those numbers come up this era, because then they would have that tie with Portugal, the exact amount of goals scored, and everything would work into that scenario where they would draw it out of a hat.
Yeah, and you do get that situation sometimes, but it's not in what is your sports world championship. I mean, you'll get that in, you know, a softball tournament somewhere, you know, figuring out seeding for pool play and that sort of, you know, after pool play, but everybody still has a legitimate shot. You're not eliminating half of the field when you're doing this. I mean, it's just a high-profile way of doing it. And the first tiebreaker is goal differential and not head-to-head.
Right, and so if Ghana would get a big win and the United States would lose big, Ghana will take our spot, or what? Not really our spot. Ghana just wins. But the United States, if they would tie Ghana, I mean, everything was a complete tie, they would not draw it out of a hat because United States beat Ghana head-to-head, which is another criteria.
The next tiebreaker,
right.
Yeah.
And you know, and again, this is where the United States comes in, and me being living in the United States, I will give you this. Head-to-head seems to me more important than something else. I'm used to that being the deciding factor. That is something I was brought up with.
Yeah.
So I would say living in the United States, the head-to-head thing instead of like the goals scored and the goal differential being more important. But I understand when it's pool play, I can understand that. And I will agree with the Soccer Foundation on that. I still don't agree with the stoppage time.
Yeah, stoppage time.
Put it on the board. I want to know how much stoppage time we got. I want to see it on the board.
And I absolutely agree with you. I'm just saying that I think Americans are more upset than probably most other countries because of the other sports that we're so familiar with that. Those other countries don't have that. And I'm also with you that head to head to me, if you and I are tied and you beat me earlier, it seems to me you've won the tiebreaker. But no, it might have something to do with how well I beat, you know, some other guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, could you,
and that's to me a little. I'm with you. That's a little off.
Well, could you imagine if the bases are loaded and a kid's up to bat and we're in stoppage time, all right? And there's a foul ball out of play. You know, and the umpire's looking for a baseball, and he has to run back to the screen and go get another baseball, and he throws it back in, and the next pitch is a ball. And then the pitcher's just getting ready, throws over to first to the runner. And, game's over. Stoppage time's done now. We'd be really disappointed that we didn't get to finish that at bat. Do you agree with that?
Well,
thank you. I beat this one dead enough. I think we're happy with
it. Yeah, and again, it's
let's go to TNL. Do an advertisement.
Well, TNL, they will provide you the difference. I know with the Storms, a lot of folks are looking at new center pivots, not because they wore out if it was a TNL. No. You got to have something else happen because new from TNL, they have a web-based pivot control. They'll take care of all that, and you know the way that they're set up, TNLs will last a very, very long period of time. And don't forget that they have that precision link, which enables a web-based pivot control for all your TNL pivot systems. Precision link works in combination with their precision point control, their PPC3, to let you manage your pivot from your computer or your mobile device. And who doesn't have one of those? With a simple internet connection, pivot, you can start it, you can stop it, change the direction, the application rate, check out the speed, and water pump control are just a few of the features that are available. And you can figure out your variable rate irrigation based on what the soil is doing, what kind of crop you're growing. Also can be programmed in there to save you water, save you money, make you more money. Precision Link and PPC3 combined with TNL's hydrostatic design and continuous movement give you that even water distribution, improved crop production, and efficient system management. Find them. Let TNL Irrigation System get you all set up at TLIRR.com. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more right after this.
The Royals battle the Angels starting at 7:10 on Friday. It's Girls Night Out with cowboy hats presented to the first 10,000 ladies, courtesy of the Kansas City area Chevy dealers. It's also Buck Night with fireworks presented by Hy-Vee and Pepsi. Saturday at 1:10, the first 10,000 fans get a James Shields bobblehead presented by Hy-Vee and Farmland. Family Fun Day Sunday starts at 1:10 with School of Rock and pregame autographs. Get your tickets now at Royals.com or Hy-Vee.
Be Royal, Kansas City. Be Royal.
Every day, you struggle to attract new customers and keep the ones you have while keeping the business running and staying in a budget. Get noticed with help from Copycat Printing. Their design and printing teams can go big with banners, yard signs, even wraps for your company vehicles. They can make sure you stand out at a fair or convention with a booth that will turn heads. If you can imagine it, they can design it and print it. Copycat Printing, across from the Kearney Chicken Coop, or visit KearneyCopycat.com. Copycat Printing, a better idea.
Now is the time to start training for this year's Nebraska Senior Games. Seniors ages 50 and up will have their chance to test their skills in a variety of different sports and activities. Track and field, golf, basketball, bowling, swimming, tennis, and many more. This year's games will be held August 7th through the 10th in Kearney. This is the 25th anniversary, a year you won't want to miss. Sign up by going to NebraskaSeniorGames.com for registration forms. The 2014 Nebraska Senior Games, where competition never gets old. Get in the game at NebraskaSeniorGames.com.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino, you can call it plain Kino. My point is this, we aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in, let the games begin.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Doug and Daddy Show. We've been talking a lot of soccer today and rule changes, trying to Americanize the game a little bit more. Soccer is kind of an unusual game. I do love it, and it's been, you know, the whole tournament's been good. The whole tournament has been, there haven't been that many games that you go, wow, that team's not very good, and that team's so much better than everybody else. A lot of people thought Spain was going to win it. They got beat in the first two games. They're out of it. Germany, a lot of people thought they would, you know, after they beat Portugal pretty effectively, people thought they're the team to beat. I don't think the United States is worried when they play them on Thursday. I mean, worried because if they lose and play poorly, they could be out of this thing. But I don't think they're running scared by any stretch of the imagination. It's been a great tournament. It really has.
Right. Hey, Jeff, while we're here today, this won't take you very long. Look up and see how many Major League Baseball games yesterday, on a Sunday, were decided by one run. Now, I know there were no ties. I know there was no ties. You know.
So, and by the way, when they start the actual tournament, when they fill out the bracket of 16, there won't be any ties then. Either.
I got that. I understand that too, and I have no problem with that. I mean, I think playing for a tie sometimes is really good. I mean, and I have no problem with that. I understand that completely, and I do. But what I'm saying is. You know, when we talk about games, I think soccer, a lot of games, I like the game of soccer because everybody's in the game until the last 5 minutes of the game. You're very seldom are you down by two goals or more. Most of these games, you might be down by a goal, it might be tied, you know, but Major League Baseball, 7 of the 15 games played yesterday were decided by one run. You know, so, I mean, baseball's very much the same. I mean, when you get right down to it.
And hockey, too.
Yeah, very so.
Yeah, very much so. And it's been a great tournament. It really has. And the United States would be very happy with a tie against Germany because that would guarantee them a spot in the round of 16.
Or very happy with a tie between Portugal and Ghana. That'd be really, really good,
too. Yeah, that'd be all right, too.
Yeah, in fact, if that game gets over a minute or two, because we're still playing stoppage time on our, and they find out when there's a tie over there, the place will be going wild. We'll have a celebration over there.
Well, it'll be a big game Thursday about noon or so for the United States in Germany and taking on Germany. So that'll be a lot of fun. It was a great game. I didn't get a chance to watch it live. We had baseball and Lincoln got back. We were leaving Lincoln about the time that they started the game. The DVR comes through again and had no idea how the game turned out. But it was a lot of fun. My wife and daughter went to the World Theater and watched the game at the World Theater, which was a neat environment for them to go do that. My daughter watched the entire game again. I mean, that gives you an idea how much she likes soccer. She's like, and my wife every once in a while, it's just kind of looking at my daughter and just like, you know, has that happened yet? Because we know how they're going to react because we know how we reacted. So I knew something was kind of going on, but I was still surprised with 30 seconds to go in extra time that it ended up being a tie.
Do you remember when Nebraska lost to Texas in the Big 12 championship game? You know, they put an extra second back on the clock. The guy ran it off, but they put the second on. Yeah. I have no trouble with that. That's the rule.
That was the right call.
We looked at it, and they got to put the second back on, and the kid makes the field goal, and you get beat, and we go home, and most of us shook hands. There were a lot of people that shook hands that day, but there was you shake hands and you move on, you know, and you look at it, and it was kind of a bad deal. We had some penalties and stuff like that, but you know, I'd be really disappointed if we'd have lost that one in stoppage time.
Well, you know, if you score a touchdown the last play of the game, you get to kick the extra point with no time on the clock.
There you go.
Just saying.
Thank you.
There is extra time, I guess.
There you go.
Hey, Jim, good to see you again.
Thanks for joining.
Yeah. And we'll say thanks to Andrew Ramsbacker of the Charlottesville Daily Progress for talking a little Cavalier baseball as they will play for the national championship beginning tonight. Don't forget that all the games of the College World Series being heard on the ESPN Superstation. Doug will be back tomorrow. He's got some quality family time going on today, so all is well with him, and our thoughts are with him and his family as they celebrate his dad's birthday. Well, I want to thank you for joining us. We'll be back and talk a little bit more College World Series tomorrow right here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.